Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Chatting with us this week by phone from his office is Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. Mr. Mayor, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Stan. Good afternoon. It's great to be on the show today.
If you've got a question for Mayor McBarnes during our next half hour, you can call us at 496-1999. You can send an email to ask@wbaa.org, and you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. I understand you've spent a good portion of your morning in budget hearings. Is that correct?
That is correct, Stan, yes. So excuse me if I am a tad bit lethargic, but I will muster up all the energy that I can for your great program. This is the second straight day of budget hearings for the city of Frankfort. We started yesterday morning at 8 a.m., and we went through 4 o'clock. Today we started at 8 a.m. We're on an hour lunch break, so I'm spending my lunch break with you fine people. And then we'll be right back at it at 1 p.m. this afternoon. So this is the time that my department heads and I, literally line item by line item, go down through all of our various budgets, put the different initiatives and projects and capital outlay requests that we have before the council, and we justify those requests based upon past spending habits and projected revenue, all at the same time keeping in mind that at the end of the day we want to continue to provide balance in our budget and increase our cash reserve on an annual basis, which we have done. So it's a big 2 days for the city of Frankfort, and I encourage anyone, if you're out there and you want to stop by Old Stoney from 1 to 4 p.m. this afternoon, these hearings are open to the public.
If someone came down, what would be an interesting thing they would find on the docket? Is there something that you are particularly interested in trying to get funded in the next budget cycle?
Sure. Yeah. Well, a couple of things, Stan. Number one, I want to pump a lot more money than what is currently being done into our streets and our infrastructure. So I've worked very hard to produce a balanced budget next year that provides $331,000 for paving in the city of Frankfort. That also includes our Washington Avenue project, which is a separate line item, and our South Mash Road project. Two other very big initiatives that this really been generated by the citizen voice in our community is partnering with the community schools of Frankfort to build an additional softball facility for our girls here in the community so that we could have back-to-back softball parks where we could host tournaments from around the state and keep our girls here, so it would lessen travel expenses for our families here in the city. And then another big line item that I'm pushing for, and this is just something that past mayors unfortunately haven't taken into consideration, is something as simple as renovation and rebuilding of our parks restrooms. We have 10 restrooms across our city parks, and after decades of vandalism and what goes on in a restroom, things can get a little bit nasty. So we really want to invest some money in those restrooms to increase the quality of life, hopefully drive more people to our parks. Another thing that we're constantly focusing on is the restructuring of our salaries. You know, when I came into office, I found that what my employees and what my patrol officers were being paid in Frankfort were very much behind the times in the comparisons to what other cities of similar size were being paid. So we continue forward with appropriately and responsibly adjusting those salaries on an annual basis. So that's just a touch. There's much more, of course, that goes into the budget, but that's a couple things that people might be interested in.
You mentioned $331,000 for roads. What does that buy you? What length of road can you rebuild or repave for that amount of money?
Great question. So a rule of thumb is $100,000 gets you about a mile. So you're looking just over 3 miles with $331,000. Now, that might not seem like a lot, but we do have 85 miles of roadway in the city of Frankfort. So I believe if we can focus on repaving 3.5 to 5 miles of roadway per year, and keeping in mind that we have other large construction projects that are going on, completely ripping out roads and rebuilding them, we can keep up with our infrastructure needs. So that's really what I'm pushing for.
Well, while we're on the subject of roads, let me talk to you a little bit about the I-65 detour. That, of course, affects your city a lot, like it affects the greater Lafayette area, since the northbound exit to State Road 28 there from 65 has been closed. I wondered what you've noticed or you've been told either by business owners or by commuters about how they are being affected by this.
Well, I know it's been a big frustration, Stan, not only for Frankfurt but the region. In terms of decision making, I haven't been a part of any of those detour processes because those detours actually lie outside of the city of Frankfurt. But I can tell you that even with county work going on, we have some bridge work going on to the north of Frankfurt. So even individuals trying to get to Rossville and Mulberry from Frankfurt are blocked going to the north. So when you take into consideration what's happening in the northbound lanes of I-65, it really has presented some issues. I can tell you that I have a great working relationship with our county commissioners. County Commissioner Bert Weaver has kept me updated. I know that he personally reached out to our state representative, Heath Van Natter, yesterday, along with District Director of NDOT, Alan Plunkett, to come up with hopefully a better solution for those traveling into and out of Clinton County. So I can only hope that those conversations are progressive and lead to good results.
So NDOT, I know, has been keeping in touch with Mayor Rozworski and Mayor Dennis here in the greater Lafayette area. Have they been making similar calls to you as well about how the road closure might affect your city?
Yeah, Alan's always great. I can't say enough about him. And we have a good working relationship. He called me a couple weeks ago when this all started. He was uncertain of where we had the capability to provide some electrical power because they needed a detour sign. It just so happened that was out of our service territory, but he was able to update me. I have a message here on my desk from Alan to give him a call back. And he's not only checking in with me to let me know about the detours, but NDOT's also great with working with the city of Frankfurt on economic development projects. So when I have a site selector come here looking to bring a big industry here, I'll often have an NDOT representative here because you and I have talked a lot about State Road 28 West, Stan, over the past several months, and I want these site selectors to hear that, listen, you know, we have state highways that go right through Frankfurt. Here's our plan for rebuilding these roads over the course of the next 4 years. So don't worry. If you come to Frankfurt, you're going to have sturdy and steady roads to get your product to and from. So, yes, great working relationship with NDOT.
It occurs to me this is a bit of a double-edged sword for you because NDOT could have, of course, diverted people onto State Road 28 there at the exit from 65, which would have had potentially one of two effects. The road would have gotten a lot more traffic. You might have had more people coming into Frankfurt. There might have been more opportunities for economic development or additional revenue brought into the local businesses that sit along 28 before they get diverted through the city and north from there. On the other hand, it could have had a deleterious effect on a road that's already in need of some help. So do you think that NDOT made the right decision diverting so far south and keeping some of this traffic away from you and away from Greater Lafayette?
Of course, not being a key decision maker in that process, I was not privy, Stan, to the traffic patterns, the expectations of placing these detours where they were placed. All I can say is I have to trust in my county commissioners that we elected. I have to trust in our state representative, and I have to trust that NDOT has taken all of these things into account. Regarding calls to my office directly about this issue, Stan, I can tell you that I have not been advised that I've received any calls directly regarding the detours of 65. Now, our commissioners, I imagine they're being flooded with calls. So if it was harming or helping economic development, if my downtown business owners saw a negative effect or anyone along that corridor that was actually in our city limits, I fully would have expected them to voice their concerns by this time. And, you know, I'll keep my ear to the phone and listen for those as they come.
This is WBAA's Ask the Mayor. We're chatting with Frankfurt Mayor Chris McBarnes today. We'd love to have your phone call questions for him. The telephone number 765-496-1999. Our email address is ask@wbaa.org, and you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Well, we're going to chat on this program next week with Todd Barton of Crawfordsville. That's a town that's almost exactly your size, about his winning a stellar grant this year. You and I have talked a little bit about your philosophy on trying to win one of those for Frankfurt. And now you've had several communities in West Central Indiana, Crawfordsville, Delphi, Greencastle, win those in recent years. Does Crawfordsville's win this year make you think again about putting together a Frankfurt proposal next year or very soon?
Well, I'm always open to that, Stan, and I believe Frankfort, whether the state of Indiana tells me or not, we are a stellar community, and we'll move forward with that designation or not. The interesting thing to me is when I read media coverage after Crawfordsville was noted to have received this designation, which, by the way, major kudos to the leadership in Crawfordsville and Mayor Barton. I know they've been working hard on this, and they should be applauded on this, so I'm not trying to take anything away from these individuals whatsoever. It is an amazing opportunity to be designated a stellar community. But in my reading of the media coverage, it seemed that it was just that. It was a designation, that projects still had to be put together in an appropriate and competitive manner in order to receive grant funding. There was no guarantee of that. It was more of a designation. Now, I may be understanding that a bit poorly. That was my critical thinking skills going to work there.
Well, Mayor Barton said,
and that's been my biggest concern from the beginning. If I'm going to put my resources and my time and my effort into something, I want to make sure it behooves the city of Frankfort. I want to make sure that we're placing those resources in the best mechanisms in order to provide the most opportunity. If that is me working with NDOT directly for federal highway dollars, or me working with OCRA directly for CDBG dollars that would go towards the same programs that if I were a stellar community I would receive, then I'll do that and we'll get the same things done.
Mayor Barton did say on our air that he's basically feeling like the city has been now put at the front of the line for existing grant funding. So I think you are reading that correctly. Let me talk about something that happened earlier this week. The ConAgra plant that you and I drove by when I came to visit you a few months ago is now done. I imagine that's something of a weight off your shoulders. And I wonder also, does the city have enough people who already have the training they will need to fill the jobs at that plant?
Yeah, great question, Stan. So, yeah, so when you were in town, cement was still being poured. You know, ConAgra, it's a 1.4, 1.5 million square foot facility. I think I read a statistic you could fit 27 NFL football fields within this plant in Frankfort. It really is something, folks, and it really was a big step forward for our community. And the thing I loved about it was a team effort. You know, it wasn't just my office or the city council. We really had to work with our county leaders. Our county leaders stepped up. They built County Road 375 connecting State Road 28 West to County Road Zero, which will help get the truck traffic in and out of ConAgra. 350 trucks a day come in and out of this facility. They're shipping everything from Swiss Miss to Chef Boyardee to Slim Jims. And the great thing about it is, Stan, they have purchased land options for a Phase 2 manufacturing site. They're good jobs for our community. But I'm happy you asked that question, because that is the question I think America is facing right now. How do we better train, educate, and build up a workforce that can meet the future needs? Because manufacturing jobs today aren't what they were. I was so surprised. I have toured the ConAgra plant myself, and the expectations of efficiency and the operations and the technology that are involved in these plants, it's absolutely incredible. So one big stakeholder we had around the table from the beginning with ConAg was Ivy Tech, and we have an Ivy Tech community college campus here in our community, and actually, thanks to sponsorships of our industrial park, this fall we're going to be starting our first industrial technology class in our IT lab that's fully operational in downtown Frankfort. So we can now train a workforce that will meet the needs of our industrial park. And if they come to us and say, hey, Mayor, you know, I got this skill, and it's not being met by your workforce, you know, now that we have invested in Ivy Tech, I'm going to go directly to Chancellor Baith. I'm going to say, Chancellor Baith, we have this skills gap. Now, how can we partner with Ivy Tech to fill that skills gap? So that was a strategic partnership with Ivy Tech that we did right up front, and I believe it's paying dividends when you see what is happening in terms of job creation in our community.
That said, I noticed that there are some positions that are coming, it sounds like, from Boone County to help fill the jobs in your community. And I also noticed that the economic development numbers show that your unemployment rate is even a little below 4%, which I think a lot of people would consider very near peak employment. In other words, all of the people who are actively looking for jobs perhaps have them already. So I'll ask again, I mean, do you have the people there who are currently either in the unemployment line or are underemployed or want to move to a different job who are Frankfort residents who are actually going to be taking these jobs? Or does it look like the majority of them from at least the near term, are coming from elsewhere?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a double-edged sword, right? I mean, we love it that our unemployment rate's low, but you know, at the same time, that means that we do have a lower population of workforce. Now, you know, sometimes I do question the unemployment rate and what that really signifies and tells us about our society, because as we have an aging society, less people are looking for work. So, you know, I try to dig past that number when trying to figure out, you know, not only where are we headed as a community, but as a nation. But in terms of your question, yes, actually, when ConAgra came here, 150 jobs were relocated from Boone County. 75 new jobs were created. But I'll tell you why I'm proud of this project, Stan. I believe if ConAgra wouldn't have come to Frankfort, they would have been actually leaving our state. I truly believe that. So I think it was a win for Indiana that we were able to keep ConAgra here and now open up the possibility for a 600 to 700 job manufacturing plant right next door to the distribution center. But, you know, let's get back to your question. We need to grow our population. Period. And you and I have cohesively, I believe, discussed that time and time and time again, and we keep getting back to the same thing. So that is why, even drawing back to the budget conversation that we started out with today, those things like a softball facility, better park restrooms, properly supplying our parks with the mulch that they need, providing a golf course in our community, an amenity, providing a swimming pool, bettering our housing stock. All of these things fit together to drive economic development, to drive consumerism, to drive a progressive community. So it's a big puzzle. We're fighting on many different fronts, but we must not only educate our workforce, but grow our workforce if we want to continue these opportunities into the future.
So while we're on the subject of this and the possibility of double-edged swords, I know that there are economists out there who would say if you have one investment, that is the potential seed for growing other investment, because companies will look at that from the outside and go, well, if it's good enough for a big company like ConAgra, maybe it's good enough for me. But at the same time, if they see that you've only got like maybe 600 or 700 people in the community who are of working age who aren't working, does that cause them to have a little bit of pause about another investor maybe taking up some space further down the line there on State Road 28?
Sure. Well, great question. Great question. And I believe we're addressing these things through our housing initiatives, our quality of life initiatives. I don't want to give anyone any reason to move out of Frankfort. If anything, I want our community to be seen as a progressive community that's a great place to live, work, and play, that has a low cost of living. We've shown over the course of the past 5 years that tax rates have actually been lowered since we've been able to grow our assessed valuation. But going back to your question in the immediate sense, Stan, you know, I think this is where regionalism comes into play. You know, our region, West Lafayette, Lafayette, Clinton County, Boone County, Howard County, Carroll County, Montgomery County, you know, we are very strong when it comes to manufacturing, and we have a strong population base to grow from. And I believe that's why regional efforts are more important now than ever. I can tell you in our budget, we have included in a line item to join a regional planning organization. I believe the cost is 77 or 87 cents per constituent. So the county and the city would have buy-in. Our cost would be $13,000. But then we would get a seat around the table with other communities in North Central Indiana to be able to go after larger funds in terms of grants to not only provide economic development opportunities, expand utility infrastructure, but also to capture major federal level dollars for housing initiatives, quality of life initiatives that hopefully will grow our regional workforce population going into the next decade.
We've got just about 10 minutes left with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes today on Ask the Mayor here on WBAA. We'd love to have your phone calls. 496-1999, the telephone number. You can send emails also. ask@wbaa.org is our email address. And you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. I wanted to address with you the drug bust that police there made earlier this week. They've arrested four people. And do you think this is an isolated incident, or is it more likely that we should be on the lookout for similar busts of multiple people in the near future? You and I have talked on this program about trying to combat drugs in your community. What's your sense of what we're going to see in the near future?
If you are dealing drugs, in the city of Frankfurt, if you are using drugs illicitly in the city of Frankfurt in an illegal manner, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when you will be caught. I can guarantee you that. You know, I am so proud of our police chief and our police force. In this situation, Stan, we have added an additional narcotics detective to our detectives unit. So we've bulked up that department in terms of our capabilities to provide undercover surveillance. In this situation, we had received over the past several years several tips from citizens saying, listen, at this particular residence, Mayor, there's a lot of traffic going in and out, odd hours of the day. So with this extra detective, we were able to properly put this residence under surveillance for a period of time, and our agencies, they got enough evidence for a search warrant. And that's when we went in. It was in the 600 block of East Washington Street, as you stated. Four individuals, four drug users, some drug dealers are in jail today. Synthetic drugs, including marijuana, were seized along with an undisclosed amount of cash by officers. Drugs are here, Stan. Drugs are in our society, period, in every community. You know, I read a great article about how a Tippecanoe County, I believe, deputy saved an individual's life by utilizing Narcan about a week ago over in your county, and I thought that was fantastic. You know, we are increasing our technology capabilities. We now have a canine unit in place for the city of Frankfurt. So again, if you're using drugs, if you're dealing drugs, we're going to get you. So I suggest you go someplace else to do it. Don't do it in Frankfurt.
When you see a bust like this with the four people arrested and people thought, police actually thought they might net more people, does it make a dent in the drug problem in your community, or does it merely reduce the competition for other drug users, drug dealers who might want to move on to the same turf?
Well, you know, I think a couple things happen. You know, I'm no police officer, and I listen to my public safety officials, and then I budget appropriately to support them and get them the training they need. I know from speaking with our police chief and public safety officials, for that matter, you're never going to completely stop drugs. I mean, that's an unrealistic expectation. But we can disrupt. We can disrupt the use. We can disrupt the distribution. We can make things incredibly difficult to the point that these stories percolate through social media, through media in general. And I know that dealers and users pick up on these things. So, you know, this particular arrest, we not only got buy money off the street, but we got several drugs off the street that individuals would be purchasing. Maybe they will now leave Frankfurt to go get their fix elsewhere. So what I'm trying to get at is, more than anything, we're really trying to work in a team environment. And, you know, I have to thank Boone County, the Boone County response team. They were a part of this yesterday, the Clinton County SWAT team and the Clinton County Sheriff's Office. It was a team effort across the board, and we threw a big disruption into the drug trade in Frankfurt yesterday, and I do think this will lead to more and more events like this happening, which will hopefully lead to better results of a healthier community overall.
You talked about adding a drug detective and a canine unit. Being that you've had this drug bust after adding those officers to the force, does that give you the ability to go back to your council and say, look, we're trying to make some headway on the drug problem. We've already done a little bit towards drug interdiction. Can you give me the money to hire a couple of more people that I can commit to this problem? Or is it a case where you can go back to your police chief and say, can we reallocate a couple of people so we can go after this problem?
No, I think, you know, your first response, Stan, you hit the nail on the head. It now gives me the opportunity as CEO of this city to go back to the council and say, look, we're making strategic investments. We are making a difference when it comes to disrupting the drug trade in Frankfurt. And here, based upon the professional input of my police chief and his upper-level leadership, here's how they're telling me we can even better the odds of stopping this in Frankfurt. So yes, it definitely provides a strong story, not only there to the council, but, you know, I know there's grant opportunities out there, and I know Chief Bacon has sought those when it comes to drug interdiction and technology, tracking devices, canine units, surveillance equipment. None of these things are inexpensive. So these kind of stories also, I believe, give strong narratives to grant applications to open up sources for more funding.
When we were talking about ConAgra just a minute ago, to shift gears a little bit, you were talking about economic development and making quality of life decisions in the city. And one of the things you mentioned was having a golf course. And I've noticed where the people who are running the city's golf course say they are going to be down something like $75,000 to $90,000 in revenue from what they had hoped to have by the time this golf season is over. And you and I have talked about the difficulties in trying to fund the golf course before. Does having that much in the red put the golf course in danger of closing?
Well, number one, let's be upfront about this. The golf business has been tough for Central Indiana in the past 6 months. I mean, I don't think you're going to talk to any golf course that's going to say they were in the black by very much anyway. I mean, a lot of golf courses were underwater for a period of time, and their entire 18 holes were closed. So it wasn't a good year for the golf business in general. Now, Stan, in this particular instance, you know, I believe our community has at least had a nine-hole golf course since somewhere around 1927. So this is a staple in our community. You know, our case, it's intriguing because there's four different owners, actually, of the 18 holes. Clinton County owns a portion of the holes. The Wesley Manor, which is a not-for-profit, owns a portion of the holes. Our Clinton County Economic Advancement Foundation owns a portion of the course. And then the City of Frankfort owns a portion of the course. So on an annual basis over the past 4 years, what we've done is we've come to the table and we've said, listen, this is an amenity that we need in our community. And I do believe we need this amenity in our community. Like I stated earlier, I don't think we need to give anyone any more reasons to move out of Frankfort. And as we think about how we attract plant managers, the middle class, upper level executives to our community, you know, this is something that we need. This is something that we need to invest in. You know, I budget roughly $140,000 a year to run a swimming pool. And I can tell you our swimming pool revenues were roughly $26,000 this year. So you can do the math on the amount of money we quote-unquote lost. It's an investment into quality of life. Now, what happened this year was those four entities, we budgeted for a $75,000 shortfall after all revenue was said and done. What our management firm is telling us is guys, it's going to be more likely to be around 90 or 100. So that's really the question that we're facing. And moving forward, how do we make a better product? You know, I think we can do things better. I think we can perhaps absorb that operation into the city somehow. We can continue to partner with the county, with the Wesley Manor, with the Clinton County Economic Advancement Foundation, get more money going back into the golf course itself so we make a better product, so we start drawing new consumers that we're not drawing now from the surrounding counties to come and play a great round of 18-hole championship golf right here in Frankfort. So we're going to be talking about that this afternoon from 2 to 4. I expect that meeting to be well attended, and I'm going to fight for this because, again, I think it's an amenity that we must not lose.
In just our last 30 seconds or so, though, surely you can't absorb $100,000 losses in perpetuity forever.
No, absolutely not, Stan. That's why we have to be very strategic in investing back into the product, marketing it very responsibly, driving our rounds up, our revenue up, keeping those partnerships strong, while at the same time mitigating loss so that we retain this wonderful community asset that we have and we love.
All right. Well, Mr. Mayor, we've run out of time on today's program, but I appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you more about how the budget and the budget hearings have gone on our next program next month.
Stan, it's always a pleasure. Hope to see everyone on the streets of Frankfort very soon.
Don't forget that our conversation next week will be with Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton. You can get your questions in by emailing them to ask@wbaa.org. And you can find all these shows archived at our website, wbaa.org. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Have a good rest of your day.
Support for Ask the Mayor on WBAA comes from your membership and Butler, Fairman & Seifert, a civil engineering firm providing communities with professional expertise and guidance. Butler, Fairman & Seifert, civil engineering solutions for better communities. BFSENGR.com.